Most people see only with the eyes. But the eyes can fool you. The appearance can fool you. For the real, you have to go deeper. What is happening here is very unusual in this world. Where does people sit so beautifully in silence? There is a way of doing, which is the way of the world, of the masses. And there is a way of non-doing, which is the way of the seeker, of the meditator. There is a way of seeing with the eyes, going out, and there is a way of seeing with the eyes closed. To learn to see from the heart. How can you see from the heart? First you have to feel it. That's why it's so important to go in, to rest, to be centered. Then you will use the eyes in a different way. Not from your head, but from the heart. Otherwise, the whole world is tricked with the eyes. What looks beautiful might not be beautiful. Somebody who is nice might not be nice. Something that sounds true might not be true. But if you learn to see from your center, from your being, then nobody can fool you. You see true. You see true the appearance. That's why it's very difficult for ordinary people to be quiet, because they have no center. There is nowhere to rest. We have forgotten that peaceful place inside. Nobody is teaching that art. That is only the art of the masters. That is satsang, to fall in tune. To fall in tune with yourself, to fall in tune with the master, and in that way fall in tune with yourself. Then you start remembering. Otherwise, how can you remember? Everything is learning you to go out, to do, to be effective, to be famous, to get money. Only very few people has that understanding to go in. Or sometimes you can even get tricked to go in. Then something is happening. You don't want it, but something deeper than your thinking mind gets attracted. Something deeper in your being gets attracted. you start feeling something that you never felt. You don't know what it is, but it's very tempting. You start falling in love. Then you find something else. Then the world, the material world, can give you. Then another world starts opening up. This you can't read about, you can't study it in any books, because it's something that happens with the individual. It's something that happens with your consciousness in your heart. But when it happens, then you know. I will share a saying from Buddha. The one known as Buddha. But remember, Buddha just means the awakened one. The awakened one. Buddha says, "My doctrine is to think the thought that is unthinkable, to practice the deeds that is not doing, to speak the speech that is inexpressible, and to be trained in the discipline which is beyond discipline." Those who understand this are near. Those who are confused are far. The way is beyond words and expressions. Is bound by nothing earthly. Lose sight of it to an inch, or miss it for a moment, and we are away from it forevermore. He is talking to his disciples. It's not the outsiders. It's not to any mind. They always think the Buddhas, the meditators, are crazy. In the first place, why are you sitting here silently? You should be out there doing something, making money, studying, make a career. What you going to do? And in the second place, this Buddha, what is he talking about? My teaching, my doctrine is to think the thought that is unthinkable. Where do you go from there? And it's not his doctrine or his teaching, it's his realization. This is how it is. But many times the ones who have translated, they don't have an understanding. They don't have any depth. They are not meditators. They are not self-realized. How can they understand it? So they translate it with words that is not really true. True in the ordinary world, but not in the world of the seeker, of the Buddha. They say, my doctrine is to think the thought that is unthinkable. This is his realization. This is how it is. It means you have to go beyond the mind. How can you go beyond the mind? You can't study it. So the only way is to fall in tune. Then you start tasting something that is beyond the mind. That is the power of love. You become slowly, slowly that which you love. You don't know what's happening, but something is infusing you. Then you start thinking and feeling that which is unthinkable. Something that is beyond. It is to practice the deed that is not doing. How can you practice that which is no doing? There is a doing that comes from non-doing. But that is out of spontaneity. Just to see what you need to do in the moment. It's no thing that you have to do. But you know it's the right thing to do. So you don't waste your energies, but you do that which is important. Because as long as you have a body, you have to do something. So what does it mean? Non-doing. They have a word for this, Wu Wei, the Taoist in China. That's a doing that comes from non-doing. It comes from your center. It is the whole that is moving you. So whatever is needed, it happens. When you are hungry, you eat. When you are tired, you sleep. When you feel like walking, you walk. That is not doing, it's just spontaneous happening. Doing is what the politicians do. Trying. Doing is what the mind does, very restless, trying to do, trying to prove, ambitions for something in the future. Doing that comes from this innocent space, it still looks like doing, but there is no doing, there is no effort in it. It is totally natural. That's why it's so important to come back to your true understanding. So you can start functioning from a different side, not from the mind, not from this restless doing, not from what is right or wrong, but from what is true. You start functioning more in tune with something that is bigger than you. You start having a bigger vision. What can I be used for that is bigger than me? You get out of this prison of you, where all the problems are, and all the protections are, and all the ideas are, and all the anger is. It is to practice the deed that is not doing. And again, you can't practice it either. This is the strange thing. You cannot practice it. Because practice is still a doing from the past. So again, it's a wrong translation. You cannot practice this. It is something mysterious that happens when an understanding starts growing in you, you can allow it. That is the only thing. You cannot practice it. You can allow it. And as you allow it, more and more rest, more and more peace, more and more relaxation comes into you. Because you realize slowly, slowly, you can function without doing. You can function without being in charge. You can function without planning. You cannot practice that. That is also from the ego. But in the beginning, of course, the seeker is very lost because it comes from only doing. How to go into non-doing? That is the alchemy of falling in tune. You couldn't do it, you cannot practice it, and still it's happening. How does this happen? How do you change like that? You haven't done anything. That's why I say, don't go anywhere, even if you don't understand. But at least have a willingness in your heart that you are ready. Because satsang means, no, the war is finished now. It's not for soldiers. So if you want to keep your fighting mind, don't waste your time. My teaching is to think the thought that is unthinkable, to practice the deed that is not doing, to speak the speech that is inexpressible. To speak the speech that is inexpressible. That's why I was reminded, you are all sitting in silence, but you are listening. You are allowing. Something is happening. This is the teaching of the awakened ones. You are listening something that is inexpressible. You are slowly, slowly start remembering a forgotten language. This, if people are hung up on words, they never understand this. That's why people can argue, they can talk about everything. Even about masters, even about teachers, even about Buddhas, the mind can talk, can argue, can compare. But remember, that is just words. If you have a taste of it, if you are so lucky that you can fall in tune and feel that which is inexpressible, then you go beyond all conflict. You are just lucky, you are just happy that, wow, now I remember. And it is to be trained in the discipline which is beyond discipline. You get trained in the discipline that is beyond discipline. That is the greatest discipline. That's why the egos, the mind, never understand this mystery of the master, of a disciple, of surrender, of devotion. It feels like a failure. The ego always wants to fight. He never wants to give in. But there is a discipline that is beyond discipline. This is the discipline of the Buddhas, to be trained in the discipline which is beyond discipline. The ego is used to the disciplines of rules, of behavior. And everybody is fed up with that. Of course. Many times people come here also, they say they don't know what to do, they don't know how to behave, they want new rules. We have people like that here also. One woman, she had to leave, because now we went into silence. That was too much. If it's on the surface, then they can handle it. It just shows you are not ready to drop everything. You are not ready to come back to yourself. You are just wishy-washy. To be silent should be the most easy thing in the world. And if you can't be silent and find peace, then I would recommend you to maybe do it. Because that is the most important, to be able to just be peaceful with yourself, to be relaxed in yourself. No money, no power, no ambitions can help. But for the mind, for the ego, they think disciplines is just rules and behavior, effort. That's why here we have no rules. We have no 10 commandments. Because these rules and this discipline and these commandments is written in your heart. The only thing I want to give you is more trust, is more consciousness, is more awareness. Then you start seeing it. Then you fall in tune. Then you don't need to ask what are the rules. You know how to behave. It's a community of the heart. Just like I told you yesterday about the Red Indians, they didn't have any rules. No real people can have any rules, because everybody should have their freedom. Even if they behave stupidly, they should have their freedom. Maybe they learn. And this is the beautiful thing in the Buddha field. That if you do something, then you will learn. You will see this was not really the right thing. This is the only way to learn, from your own experience. Not that somebody tells you. And the only way you can learn that discipline is to fall in tune with the Buddha, with yourself. Then this is coming spontaneous. To be trained in the discipline which is beyond discipline. And that is what is happening here. That is what satsang is to just drink, to imbibe that spirit that is available. That is the meaning of Jesus when he said, drink me, eat me. That must have been the words for satsang with Jesus. Because what happens then if you eat me, drink me? Then the master becomes one. It becomes part of you. Then you start getting other eyes. You start getting other understanding. That is much bigger than the ego, than the mind. That's why this true teaching can never be written about, it can never be said. Because it goes much, much further than the words. It goes much further than the appearance. It's something that happens in your very being, in your chemistry, in your consciousness. And how it happened is a mystery. That is the discipline that is not the discipline. And when you first taste that discipline, you get totally devoted to that discipline. That is the outcome. And it's totally effortless. Because you are growing in awareness, you are growing in love, you are growing in clarity. You want to learn more. It's not even that you want. There's just, yes, I'm available. Those who understand this are near, says the Buddha. Those who are confused are far away. And who can understand that? Not many. Those who understand this, that goes beyond the mind, are near. Those who doesn't understand it, they are far away. Because you have a clarity in you of true seeing, and you have a confused mind. So if you only function from the mind, nothing is clear. If you connect with your clarity, then there is true seeing then. That's another word in India, like satsang, darshan. It means seeing, true seeing. When they go to the master and have darshan, why do they call it true seeing? Because this can happen. They can see how things are. Beyond the mind. That is darshan. No, you see. You can't tell anybody what you have seen. You have seen. The only way, I hope you see also. When you see, you see. Then your best friend, what have you seen? You look very happy. You look very peaceful. What have you seen? You also go there. Maybe you also will see. I don't know. Nobody knows how it happens. Those who understand this are near. Those who are confused are far away. The way is beyond words and expressions. It is bound by nothing earthly. That is also this. Remember, Buddha is talking to his disciples. It is the inside information. Not anybody can understand. The way is beyond words and expressions. That's why again and again remind you, no, don't talk about it if people are not interested. Because it's beyond words and expressions. Only if people are thirsty. Otherwise, again, you will go into just words. And words are very dry. And the Buddha is beyond words and expressions. So if you only have been listening to the words, then you will never understand the Buddha then. And how to get free of the words? Come closer to the Buddha. That's a paradox. And they say it. Different Buddhas may behave differently. So they always, the true master always said, don't get caught up with the words or the behavior or the expressions. Somebody might be a cripple and somebody might be beautiful and somebody might hit you and somebody might kiss you. And somebody would like to beat you up but is too lazy to do it. Don't get all caught up in the expressions and how they behave, because you have to go beyond that. What is important is you fall in tune. I remember when I came to Osho, and he was talking 1 month in Hindi, 1 month in English. And in the beginning, it's like, oh my God, Hindu for 1 month? Let's go to Goa. And then slowly, slowly, I start falling in tune. Something was happening. This thing, this discipline, which is beyond discipline, start happening. Some kind of love affair start happening. And then I start loving it, because all the Westerners, so half of the Westerners had gone, and the ashram very quiet, and he was talking in Hindi. And who cared about the words? And it was such a great practice, because it had nothing to do with the words anymore. It was something that was happening beyond the words. It was between hearts and heart. It was just to fall in tune. And it was a great practice. I didn't think about it then. But looking back, this was what was happening. You don't even need to understand, because who cares what the master is saying? If you hung up on the words, one day he talks about beautiful thing, and another day he's crazy, and one day he's that Sufi and Buddha and all this. Okay, who cares? Today is rainy, today is sunny. You just want to imbibe it. And only then this thing with disciplehood is happening. You don't care so much what the words are. The way is beyond words and expressions. Is bound by nothing earthly. Lose sight of it to an inch, or miss it for a moment, and we are far away from it forevermore. He said it's very, very easy to miss it. Like the Zen people say, it's like a razor's edge. Certainly you are there, in tune. And just a little bit, and you're gone. You're in the ditch. And that is this discipline that is beyond discipline. How to stay there? You can do it, but it's happening more and more. Because your being wants to wake up. Everybody wants to be happy. Everybody wants to have peace. Everybody wants to be clear. So it just depends when you're going to stop fighting yourself. When you're going to decide that no, I go with the heart instead of the mind. That is really the battle. That is heaven and hell. Mind and heart. Not in the future, but now. Now you can choose. Make it clear. Or if you're not sure, then be confused a bit more then. Who cares? It's a free world. But this is how it is. The way is beyond words and expression, is bound by nothing earthly. Again, is bound by nothing earthly, is something unseen. But this otherworldly, this not earthly, is much bigger than the earthly. You can conquer the whole world. I own the whole planet Earth. But you will still be full of fear and just a tiny, tiny, tiny speck in the universe. What's next? Conquer the whole universe? Then you'll be happy. They had a great conqueror, no? What was his? Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great, no? I don't know how great he was, but that's what the other conquerors and egos, they call him Alexander the Great, because he conquered a lot. But there's a story in India when he came all the way to India, and then he crossed over a river, and it was one sadhu there, one yogi, one sannyasin, who was laying there by the riverbed, taking sunbed, naked. And Alexander had never seen these people, because in the Europe, already then, they were more civilized, no? In India, still you have these people, they don't care about anything. Some people even walk around naked, the sadhus. Men and women, they have still these sects. And the Indians, they still leave them alone because it's part of the tradition. It's a little bit embarrassing for the if you come from Delhi and a proper Westerner.
Then, oh my God, look at the other.
But luckily, they keep most to specific places in the mountains. Once in a while, they come tumbling out from the jungle out to the highway. Then they, of course, it looks a bit strange, but they have been there for thousands of years. So then they were coming over. Then Alexander said to one of his caretakers, go and tell that man to come here. I want to see him. Who is there living alone there by the river? We are far away from anything. And he looks like a very beautiful man. And he goes there, and this sadhu says, not interested to go there. Chalo. He was totally, but it's Alexander. Alexander who? Go. Then back to Alexander the Great, who was waiting. Seeing that this guy, he doesn't come. And he said, no, this man, he doesn't want to go. He said, just get lost. Alexander who? Alexander, very angry. Going back, he said, don't you know who I am? Do you know who you are? Asked the sadhu. What? He have never met such a strange guy. He asked, do you know who I am? The Alexander the Great. He asked, do you know who you are? Then he got first taste of how these strange people were. And you know, if you don't behave, you know I can take my sword and chop your head if you don't behave. I'm Alexander. And he said, take your fucking sword and cut, it's already gone. Then he was more confused. This is the first time he's not even afraid something starts happening, and he said, is it anything I can do for you? You look very beautiful. You're such a person. I've never seen anything like that. It's a strange country I'm coming into. And he said, if you please move your fucking horse, you standing in front of the sun, and it's a cold morning, that's all what I need. I'm standing here in the shade. Move a bit. And Alexander, he had written about this. Was amazing. I never met anything like that. Don't you know I'm Alexander? I'm going to conquer the whole world. So what? And Alexander also, he died very miserable. And he even said that when you carry my coffin, then let my hands just be out on the side so everybody can see that I have nothing. He must have remembered this. No, he wasted his whole life being a big shot. And when he died, he had nothing, no? If he had been a little more clever, maybe he would stop there by that river. Strange people, no? My doctrine is to think the thought that is unthinkable, to practice the deed that is not doing, to speak the speech that is inexpressible, and to be trained in the discipline which is beyond discipline. Those who understand this are near, those who are confused are far away. The way is beyond words and expressions, is bound by nothing earthly. Lose sight of it to an inch, or miss it just for a moment, and we are far away from it forevermore. It's very difficult to come by it. But it's even difficult, more difficult to hold on to it, because you can't do it. It's just a fine balance. To be in tune.